God, would that be the case for each of us, as individuals, but collectively together? God, we are so thankful today for Jesus. I know personally I am thankful because without him, there's no way that I could be here today. There's no way that I would have a right relationship with you other than through faith in his sacrifice on the cross, the fact that he rose from the dead 3 days later. So God, I thank you. Jesus, thank you for your willingness and your ability to die my death so that I could live and have relationship with you both now and forever. So God, thank you that you have done that for us all. Pray, Lord, that you would speak through me over the next few moments. That you would use these words to penetrate the hearts in this room for your glory. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Good morning. That's horrible. You guys did a bad job. Let's start over. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. That's a little bit better. My name is Wayne. I'm the student pastor here at the table. It's an honor to be here with you this morning. She's going to get really mad at me because she just got up to leave. But you guys, that was my wife that did the liturgy reading this morning. And so for those of you who thought I was like joking, she normally comes to the first service. A lot of you probably thought I was lying this whole time and didn't actually have a wife. There she is. I convinced her to marry me. Actually, she kind of convinced me. Just kidding. I love you. She's gone, so she probably can't hear me anymore. But Cody asked earlier, and I'm just so thankful for those of you who served last Sunday, who said, you know what, it's not a week off, but it's a week to step out and step up and be the hands and feet of Jesus. The why in which, behind the reason why we serve, I got an opportunity on Tuesday to hear a lot of the stories, a lot of the work that went in, and a lot of the hearts that were able to be touched, and to see Jesus through a lot of y'all's sweat. And some of you with like blood, I heard somebody got scratched up on their arms pretty bad, but just the willingness to go out and to serve people and to see people and to meet people so that they can see Jesus alive in us and hopefully be transformed by his love. And so thank you for doing that. Thank you for your willingness. Thank you to those who gave financially so that we could do that. Thank you to our elders who has said, you know, this is a priority. Thank you to Bill and his leadership and giving up a Sunday service so that we can go out and be the church. And thank you so much to Melissa for leading all so well. She does a whole bunch of work and works really hard to make those connections and build those relationships so that we just simply can go out and serve and love people. And so it was an awesome time last Sunday. If you haven't been a part of that, man, don't miss out. I'm going to forget this announcement if I don't make it up front. If you've been hanging out with us for a little bit, we have a lunch after service, and we would love to invite you to that. It'll be down in the Effie Center behind us right now. I would just forget. I know I would if I didn't say it up front. So let's get started. Cool? You guys are not in it right now, so let's start over. I mean, I'm going to say everything over once again. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to get started. We're going to continue in our series, Marvel. I'll just be honest with you. I'll let you inside my brain a little bit. I attend the first service with my wife. And the second service, like, if I know that I'm teaching in that series, I just come and I, like, kind of listen, but then I kind of don't. And I kind of just think, like, okay, what could I say in regards to this series? And when Bill first said Marvel, my mind went to comics. Now, before you be like, oh, me too, like, I don't ever read. I've never read a comic. I probably even never picked up one, but I've seen all of the movies, so I know just as much as those of you who have actually, like, read them. And so my favorite, like, comic character is actually not one of the Marvel people, though. It's Batman. And so Batman is better than whatever comic that you thought of when you thought of comics. And if you would like to argue, I got a few minutes before the lunch, and then I got to get to the lunch and then go to watch the Cowboys in Jesus' name beat the Packers. And so we can argue out there if you want to, but you're not gonna change my mind. But that was the first thing that I thought of. The first thing that I thought was, like, comics. And I know you're thinking, man, you're a pastor. That's not really that spiritual. Well, I got there, like, in just, like, the next thought. But, like, when I was growing up, My mom, I love my mom, and she is just such an awesome woman of faith. She's a huge part of my story and how, like, my relationship with God, just her and my dad discipling me and growing me in the things of Jesus. And but I remember, I don't know if you've ever heard this term used before, but my mom, like, sometimes she can really, like Jesus juke you. Like, she can, like, you can say something, and then she just, like, makes it super spiritual, and, like, you weren't even, like, trying to do that. And I would be like, man, this food is really awesome. And she'd be like, no, Wayne, God is awesome. And I'm like, you made the food. I'm trying to compliment you here, if you could just take the compliment. But what she was teaching me was to be in awe of who God is. She was trying to separate this, like, this idea in my mind that, like, if I'm going to place awe anywhere, it should not be on the food that she made, but on the God who has created it all. And when I really sat and I began to think about, like, marvel in this word, I think that that is, like, what we are to do as believers in Jesus, to truly marvel in his majesty, marvel in his love, marvel in his grace, like, be in awe of it, not just at conversion and salvation, is think, man, I can't believe that Jesus died for me and he's given me an opportunity to be made right with him. Yes, absolutely. But it's not just for eternity, but it's for every single day. Like, we should marvel, we should be in awe of the fact that we serve a God and know a God because of Jesus that has pursued us and loves us. We should marvel the fact that it is not this religion that says, I've got to work my way to God, but it's this relationship that says that God works his way to me. We should marvel in that. Should really drive the way that we live and who we are, the way that we seek out people and love people. And so we're going to read in John 2. If you have your Bibles, John 2, 1 through 12 will be the text. If you don't have your Bibles, it'll be up here on the screen. Also, you can join us in our YouVersion event, and we'll read there together. It says, on the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus was also invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, listen, you have to be the Son of God to be able to say this to your mom. Woman, what does this have to do with me? When I first heard that in church, I kind of ducked, like thinking that my mom was going to think that I said that to her, but she didn't hit me. So it says, my hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Now there were six stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. And they filled them up to the brim. I love that. They filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. So they took it. And when the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, he, the master of the feast, called the bridegroom and said to him, everyone serves the good wine first. And when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. This is the first of his signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The first thing that I need for you to understand is this, is that Jesus invites each of us to the wedding banquet. We see here in John 2, Jesus' first miracle, it is at a wedding. We can take a lot from that and see, like, because ultimately when we read in Revelation, we see that Jesus will come back for his bride, the body of Christ, those who believe in him. He will come back for his bride as the groom, and he will usher, we will be ushered into his glory. And I was joking about this, because my wife was here in the first service, and I was like, man, I kind of feel like I got a little ripped off in our wedding, because, like, when we see, like, Jesus, the groom, like, being everybody's, like, attention point at the wedding, like, maybe it should have been me who the doors, like, opened wide at our wedding, and, like, everyone turned and looked at me instead of her, but, like, obviously, it's not the case. But for those fellas who are yet to be married, like, maybe work that in pre-marriage counseling. Like, hey, like, what do you think about this? Like, it's kind of biblical, you know? Like, let's talk about it. But I wouldn't do it. Just, it's not a good idea. My wife didn't think the joke was as funny as some of you did. So, but the reality is that Jesus is inviting all of us to this wedding banquet. And the way that he has done that was that he came and left the glories of heaven. And he was born of a virgin, and he lived and he loved perfectly, without sin, without fault. And then he died on the cross for the sins of the world. so that we could have life. And when he did that, when he died, he rose 3 days later, and he has given this invitation and says, if you believe in me, you are a part of me. I'll graft you into this family, and you will be with me. Anyone who believes shall be saved. He is inviting us all to the wedding banquet. No matter what you've done, no matter how far you feel like you are away from God, he is saying, listen, the cross covered it. I care so deeply for you that I want for you to be in relationship with me. And the way that I proved it is that I put myself on the cross on your behalf. It's this invitation that says, look, you're not too far off. You're not too far gone. I desire to be with you. And here's the proof. It's the cross and the empty tomb. So come and receive the invitation that he gives. He invites every single one of us, the invitation to the wedding banquet. After you have said yes and received this invitation that ultimately leads to glory with God forever, realizing that the every day that he is inviting you now to fill up the jars on your way. We see this story of these empty jars, and Jesus gives his disciples the instruction, now go and fill them with water. It seems like this pretty mundane task, but to go and fill them with water. And it says that they filled them to the brim. I love that idea, that thought, that there was no space wasted. And here is the reality. That is what Jesus is calling us to. You say, how do I fill it to the brim? What does it look like for me to pour water into a jar? Well, Jesus is asking for your life as a living sacrifice to him. To live in such a way that would say that I will do all that I can to bring God glory every day of my life. If you would have met me through the ages of 12 to 21, this was not my understanding. This was not my story. This is not the way that I lived. I was the person who came in to church on Sunday and said, look, God, you can have this hour. Do everything that you're going to do in the next hour for the week. And then I'm just going to go out and live my own way. I was literally pouring just to drop in on Sunday mornings. I wasn't living my life trying to fill it to the brim for the glory of God. I was just doing enough what I thought I was supposed to be doing, but that was me trying to work my way to God and get this attendance check, when the reality is God desires to have a relationship with me and you. Not just for you to come and fill a seat, but he said, like, my son, I gave him so that you could have life. And it's not so that you could just be focused on eternity with me, but so that you could live now and live in a way that would bring me glory. So fill it to the brim. My hope is that you hear that, not as me like coming down on anyone, but me encouraging you that says, listen, your life is worth living for the Lord. It's what you were created to do. You were created to worship him. So fill it to the brim. Stop living in such a way that says, I'm just gonna give my little bit on Sundays or Wednesdays, but say, God, everything, because of what you've done, the gravity of it all, everything that I have is yours. And I can tell you this from my experience, that there's fullness in that life. That when we try to live for ourselves or live for others and we fall short, or we don't really desire to live for Jesus, like, that is not the fullness of life. Yes, we're going to make mistakes on the way. We're going to have to repent and ask for forgiveness. But Jesus said that he came so that we could have life, and life to the full. And the reality is, the way to do that is live every day and fill it to the brim for the glory of God. So as he has invited us all to the wedding banquet, he's invited us to fill the jars on our way, and to fill it to the brim. And then I want for us to hear this. It is a collective process. It's not just on me to fill the jars to the brim. It's on all of us who are believers in Jesus. Every single one of us has a part to play. Every single one of us has been given gifts by God to bring him glory, to show off who he is. And it is on all of us together to do that. We are the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. He is calling us to walk in unity together in a world that desperately needs him. The enemy is using division amongst the body of Christ to confuse those who are not believers in Jesus. I talk to people often that says, like, you guys can't even get it right amongst yourselves. Why would I want to be a part of it? And I so desperately asked him to focus on Jesus, the God who we serve, who is good and perfect and holy, as we, as the body of Christ, need, because I agree with him, we need to get it together. We need to walk in unity. We need to be reminded of the things of God and be reminded that you and I are both filling up this jar to the brim for his glory. And it's not about self. It's not about us. It's not about us being seen or us being known, but it's about us reflecting his goodness and his love. That's what we did last week, last Sunday. We, as the body of Christ who meets at this church and this, in these walls, who calls the table home, we got out of ourselves, got out of these walls and said, let's go in our community and serve. We want to show people who Jesus is. We want to show them that he has not forgotten them, that they are loved, that they are seen, and that they are known by a God who sees it all, and who cares deeply for them. But it's on all of us together to do that. When I talk to teams, I get an opportunity. It's one of my favorite parts of my job is to talk to teams. And I really don't have like a bunch of different like messages to give them. It's all kind of the same thing. And I just try to trick them. And they're teenagers. They don't remember what I said a year ago. Most of them don't even remember what I say on a week-to-week basis. So, but I talk to them and I say this all of the time. I say, like, I need you. As being a part of a team, like the reality is that you are dependent on one another. That's what I love about teamwork. I love the fact that in all of this, we work hard. We work hard through the off season. We push ourselves to the limit, and then it comes to a culmination, maybe on a Friday night or a Saturday or whatever it is. But I love that about a team. But the fact is that like as an individual who is a part of this team, like I need you. As somebody who is a part of the body of Christ, like I know that I can't do it on my own. I know that it's impossible for me to do it. But I know that God has given you gifts and talents and words of encouragement and words of love and the ability to live through the power of the Holy Spirit, to live in a world and live differently and to show people who he is. But I need you to do that. And I don't mean this in a way of like dependence on me, but it's vice versa. Like you need me to live for the glory of God and to show people and to tell people about who he is and how much he loves them and the call that he has for their lives. Like I need you. And you need me, and we need each other. It's just there's so much truth in that because, like, when we just try to do it on our own, it's against what I believe that God is calling us to, because it is a collective process. We are dependent. We need one another. It's unity that we're supposed to walk in, and I love it. And I love the way that it works itself out with our students, and our students are doing such a phenomenal job of bringing their friends, because I can't go into their schools and invite them to church. I can't go into their schools and show them who Jesus is, but our students can. And our students are doing that, and they're bringing their friends, and their friends are hearing about Jesus, and some of them are coming to know Jesus, and it's this process of us working together collectively for the glory of God and to make him known. And that's the process that we're talking about, that I'm talking about here, as we marvel in his goodness and his glory and his majesty and his forgiveness and his grace. We're also called to collectively walk in that and say, you know what, people in this world, they need Jesus. And what we have been given, this gift that we have been given, this grace that we have been given, is nothing that we did on our own to deserve it. Simply, we place our faith in a God who loves and who pursues and who cares deeply for us. So the call is absolutely, yes, for us collectively to go out into a world and tell people about his goodness and to fill it to the brim every day. Yeah, we're going to mess up. Yeah, there's going to be days where we don't do as much as we should, but our goal and our desire should be, God, today, how can I make you known in this world? How can I show people? How can we show people who you are? Because it's not just about me and my relationship with you, God. You are desiring to equip me to go out and to tell a world, to tell people who don't know you, who need you, of your goodness and your love through the way that I live and through the words that I say. But listen, that's all of us. It's not just the people on staff at the church. It's not just the leaders. It's not just your parents. It's every single person who has said yes to Jesus and has faith in Christ. It is on all of us collectively to go together in love and to tell people about who he is. And the fact is that they should marvel at the God who has created it all and who desires a relationship with him. It's collective. It's all of us together. Last thing that I want for you to understand is we can only fill buckets with water. It's God who turns it into wine. We can only fill with water. It is God who turns into wine. I want for you to understand this. I want for all of us to understand this. It may seem mundane, the season that you're in. You may feel like, man, this, I'm just doing a job that I don't really love. I'm just, every single day, I just got to go in and punch the clock, and it just kind of gets hard. Just got to go to school every single day, and I don't really understand it. It's just like, man, you know, what am I doing? But as you feel that water, you have a God who can breathe on it, take a glance at it, touch it, stir it, whatever he wants to do, and it becomes a miracle. And for every single person who's sitting in this room that has a relationship with Jesus, that's what people did for you. They did the mundane of just filling it up with water and just pointing you to Jesus every single day, and you may not have known it, and then the Lord revealed himself to you. We have a God who literally just breathes or speaks things into existence, and that's what he does, and that's what he's doing, and he's doing it collectively. Now I know and I believe that God absolutely does this, like, on an individual basis. I believe I've seen it in my life, ask God to turn water into wine, like, not physically, though, if we're being honest, we've all tried it, right? Everyone here, it's like the whole, like, you know, walking on water thing. You take a step in the pool, you've all, like, got some water out of the fridge and then looked at it and just, like, kind of looked up and said, like, yes or no. None of the students, though, because that's not good. Students don't do it until you're 21 or ever, maybe. But the reality is that, like, as individuals, we ask of God to, like, step into our lives and make, like, water into wine. Those situations that are hard or those situations that they seem so mundane, God, would you do a miracle? But the reality is that he very much can do that, and a lot of times he does. But ultimately, like, God is ushering in, like, the culmination when Jesus returns, and collectively, like, everything will give God glory. He is pointing everything to himself. The Bible tells us that he is going to restore all things to himself. And so when we think about this water to wine, like, this idea and this thing that we see here, like, Jesus is doing that for eternity. This process that we are living as we eagerly await the return of Jesus, like, along the way, it may be that God answers the prayers the exact way that we pray them, and he does those miracles and turns water into wine, or it may be such that it looks differently, but we need to, as we trust God, we need to absolutely trust him that he is doing something, even though maybe we can't see it. And that collectively, ultimately, as believers in Jesus, our desire is that he would restore all things to himself for his glory in his timing, and he would use us to do so. He would use us to do so. People who are without him are nothing, but because of him have life and have life to the full. My hope in this message or teaching is that you would understand that there is a God who loves you. He loves you as an individual. He really does. Specifically you, but he also loves the world and is calling the world back to himself to be restored completely to him, ultimately to him, because he is good and is worthy of our worship and our praise for everyone, from everyone. So not just you, this is not a relationship that you keep to yourself and you live and then you go and you spend forever with God. It is you saying, look, like, I understand that I have been given grace that I did not deserve. And so I will do everything to make sure that I live my life full to the brim so that everyone could know him and his goodness. And Jesus, as you are turning water into wine in my life, would you do so? Because I know that that is your desire for all of humanity, for all people to see your goodness and your love and your forgiveness and your grace, and not just to see it, but experience it. And so that we, as the bride of Christ, as the body of Christ, as we await the return of Jesus, we can be busy filling our lives to the brim and living in full for him, both now and forever. Will you pray with me? Jesus, thank you for you. God, I am forever thankful, and may I forever be in awe of you. May we be forever in awe of your goodness and your grace and your love. May I be reminded that though that you and I have a relationship together through Jesus, because of Jesus and my faith in him, that that is not the place to leave it. It's not just meant to be just between you and me, but I am supposed to go into a world with fellow believers in Jesus and live my life full to the brim for the glory of God. And may I be reminded that it is God, it is you who breathes, who glances, who touches things and makes a miracle out of messes, who can penetrate the heart and who can change a heart in less than seconds. Less than a second, God, it's you who does that. It's you who makes all things new. God, I pray that we would leave today with an eagerness to live our lives full to the brim for your glory. Every single day of our lives, may we wake up with the joy of knowing that we, because of you, get to live our life to the full, together in unity. God, we love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.